Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Thanks, Josiah. How are we, 10 a.m.? You! Front row yells. There we go. So great to be here, and we get the honor of continuing our value series. You enjoying it at the moment, the value series? Just sort of getting to know who we are as Beacon Church. If you are new here, Beacon Church has been around for, as under the name Beacon Church and the new mission and values, just over a year. And so Beck and I felt that this year we just wanted to share our heart in regards to what we want to see for the future of Beacon Church, how we want people to know Beacon Church in the community. And we've gone over the last few. Our first week we had our mission statement. Who knows it? Yell it out. Okay, not you, Josiah. We've said that. Someone in the church, okay, not on staff. Anyway, guiding people home, okay. First value, anyone remember that? Yeah, we live in spirit and truth. Once again, we worship in spirit and truth. We're going to be looking at the scripture today. Yes, we want to have every good thing that God has for us. We want it to be anchored in the word of God. And we don't just want to be just coming up with ideas. We want to make sure it's in the scripture. The next one? Prayer. What about prayer? How do we pray? Faith-filled expectation. We believe that God actually answers our prayers. When we pray, we don't just pray into some kind of weird thing in the sky. It's like, God, no, we know you hear our prayers and answer our prayers. And we're expecting that God's going to show up in our lives when we pray. And so that's why we pray with faith-filled expectation. And then last week, love always. Who loves someone this week? Oh, good on you. The 8 a.m., no one put up their hand, and I'm worried about our church and maybe the 10 a.m. is full of love, you know, more love in the 10 a.m. And today we're actually going to enter into the fourth value. There's actually five. Beck's going to wrap up next week with our fifth value. But this one we wanted to have.
He's saying that so that now I can't get out of it.
Yeah, Beck is definitely going to be here next week. But we want to get into this next one, and we want to have a conversation about it because it's a big topic. Our fourth value at Beacon Church is to live generously. Live generously. And not give generously, but live generously. And, you know, instantly when you heard live generously, you went, oh, no, it's talk about money. Some of you are like, how do I get out of here? It's not dark enough, right? So, look, the reality is we're a church that's generous. If you've been here for a short period of time, long period of time, you'll know that there's generosity in this place. I hope you feel that. And, yes, we do. Beck and I talk about it all the time. We believe in the tithe, bringing our first, our tenth, bringing that first fruits. When God brings in, we bring back the first, and we do that. We believe in the offering over and above with our legacy offering. At the moment, we're sowing into our future, being generous to the future generations for a building that we believe this church will have. Just an update on that. We're actually very close to $700,000 in that account, which is amazing. Yeah. And the thing about the clap there is, for those who know, if you're just new here, like, is that a lot? Is that it's in the last 2.5 years that's come in from our community. And that is mind-blowing stuff. And so that's the reality. We do believe in that stuff. But today we're going to be talking so much more about generosity, because it's not two-dimensional. It's not about just throwing money at a situation. It's about a lifestyle. And so we're going to get into it. Beck's actually going to lead off by reading a passage of scripture that's I hope summarizes what we hope for this church. And so I'm going to hand it on to you.
Yeah, well, as just said, we really wanted it to come across that this is a lifestyle that we, I guess, sign up to, really, when we become a Christian. It's when you become a Christian, you should be living a life that is generous. And as Beacon, as the church that is Beacon, we want to be people that live a lifestyle of generosity. That it's, and as I said, it's not just about money and finance. We want to be people that are generous in every area of our life, whether it be in words, in time, in relationships, in finance, in all areas. We want people to meet someone from this church and go, wow, they're just generous. Like, they're generous. Every interaction I've had with them, every conversation I've had with them, I've just seen generosity flow from them. That's who we want to be as Beacon. And a chapter of the Bible that I've always loved, like, for years, I've always loved this chapter, because I felt it kind of summed up how to do generosity in terms of God's way of doing generosity. And I've always looked to this passage whenever I've wanted to be challenged or encouraged in my generosity. And so we felt it was only right today to actually go through this, because it kind of sums up everything we wanted to say. And we don't want you to just hear our ideas about generosity. We want you to hear God's idea. We believe that this is actually from God, this idea of living generously. And so we want you to hear his word on this. And so I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 9, and I am going to read the whole chapter because all of it is so important. And then we're going to go through just, because really, as I was reading this passage this week, God just started, I just started jotting down. I felt like inspired by God. I just felt to start jotting down all the things I love about this passage. And then that kind of flowed into, hey, that's what we want to share with the church, all the things that we love about this passage. So here goes. We're going to have it up on the screen as well. And just so you know, so it's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And this is Paul writing, and he's writing to the church of Corinth. And this is a church that he's visited before, that he's loved, that he's helped build, that he loves them dearly. And this is what he's currently not with them. And so he sends a letter to them, and this is what he says. So it says, "There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you in Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." And really, we could talk all day on this passage because it's so rich and there's so much beautiful stuff in it. But we're just going to go through today, as I said, some of the things that we love about it. And, you know, it's been interesting for me over the last few years as we've been pastoring here, because of course, I've loved this chapter for years, and I've viewed it just through the eyes of being a Christian and a follower of Jesus. But now when I read it with my pastor's hat on, it's actually amazing to read it, because I read it and go, that's what I want to be able to say of Beacon Church, of the church that I pastor. That's what I want to be able, and I love that actually I can say this, and I do say this, that I actually want to boast about them. I want to boast about them because they're just such generous people, and I know they'll have the gift ready, and I know they'll be ready to respond to the need. And so I can boast about the generosity. And so that's what I love. The first thing that we're going to chat about this morning is just, I love that the church in Corinth was just so generous that Paul could visit the other churches in the area and beyond and talk about them, talk about their generosity, boast about it, because he just knew what a generous church they were at Corinth. And that's who we want to be. That is who we want to be as Beacon Church. We want to be the sort of church that people talk about our generosity, about how generous we are as a church. I mean, we think of Stack the Slate. That's an easy example.
Who's been part of Stack the Slate? Put up your hand if you've been part of Slack. Yeah, see, I reckon a majority of us at some stage in the last couple of years have brought a gift in at Christmas time for a child in a family that's in need, right? And last year, I think over 600 gifts were donated by this community alone, which is a blessing for 600-odd families across the Redlands and beyond. And what I love about that, like Beck said, this is one example of this church just responding with generosity. And it's so interesting. I actually do boast about you guys, because other pastors, they go, you gave 600 gifts. Like, how did you make people do that? And I'm like, we just asked and they did it. Like we just said, we're going to give some gifts to the needy, and you guys just rock up. There's not like follow up. There's not like, hey, have you brought, you know.
In fact, I'm pretty sure we could just put this sleigh in the foyer, not say a word, and it'd be full before we
Because
know
that's
it.
Who you are. Yeah. You're just so incredibly generous. And I just get so overjoyed by that because it's like, man, when you've got an activated church on mission and they see a need and go, yep, we're going to do it, it's so powerful. Like it makes such a massive difference. And other things throughout the year, if you've ever been at one of our events, a Mother's Day, a Father's Day, or a Christmas or Easter, you know that we do our very best just to bless the community. Whoever comes in these doors, we want them to feel blessed. Who's been part of that? Who's receive that blessing? I mean, the reality is that only happens because of you. And we genuinely, one of my favorite things as a pastor is to sit around with the team before one of these events, before Easter, and go, how can we bless everyone? What can we do this year? Like, how can we be generous? How can we like really blow people away? And they'll come here and go, are you kidding me? Like that's free? And people go, why are you doing this? Because we want to show you the love that Jesus has shown us. I mean, he is the perfect example of generosity, and that's who we want to be known as. But it's because of our individual people in our church to say, we're part of this. We want to be part of it.
Yeah, and just so you know, church, that's an intentional decision. When we do those event days, it's intentional. We intentionally make it free. There are people that every year say to us, you could charge for this. You know, we don't mind paying a bit of money for this. But we don't want to do that because we want to be generous. We want people, and we know there are some people that come to our church purely for those days alone because they want the free food. And we're totally okay with that.
We said four times a year. They come 4 times a year.
And we're totally okay with that because we want them to walk away knowing, wow, those Christians are generous. You know, if that's all they walk away with knowing is those Christians are generous, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Because I hope that actually what it will really enable them to go is their God must be a generous God. For them to be so generous, they must serve a generous God. For them to love us so well, their God must be a loving God.
And we do have an amazing God. He always provides. We've told stories over and over again. Actually, someone said to me this week, I don't know where it was, someone said, you should have called your church Loaves and Fishes Church. Because every time we put something on, God just somehow multiplies the gift that we give. And, I will still remember our first Christmas, the story of the ice creams. We bought 1,000 ice creams. It's all we could afford because we thought 1,000 people would show up. And there was left over more than 1,000 ice creams at the end of the night after everyone had had about 2 or 3 ice creams. And then we were handing out boxes of ice creams to families. You want a box? Like, it was unbelievable. There were ice creams there we didn't even order that arrived. And we had a freezer full of ice creams for up to 9 months after, and we kept giving them away, and they just never ran out.
I know,
it's
I think
like,
finally I had to throw some
finally we had to throw them like, out because we're like, we've got to get rid of these flipping ice creams. And that is God. Like we go, we'll bring what we can, and God just multiplies it. We've seen it time and time again. Even Father's Day last year, I ordered steaks. Remember steak sandwiches? Oh my gosh. We ordered, I mean, that was a multiplication again. There was so much left. I'm like, it doesn't make any sense. The numbers don't make sense, but that's the God we serve. We're generous. God touches it, multiplies it, and we just laugh.
Well, even that steak story kind of leads on to the next point, because the next point that we want to talk about is, I love that when you read this, Paul actually says, your generosity, he says to the Corinth church, your generosity is inspiring the other churches. The other churches that he's then visiting, when he tells them about the Corinth church and how generous they are and how they've been giving and giving and how they've promised more gifts, and it inspires, it says there that actually, I think it says it stirs them to action, their enthusiasm. It says the Corinthians' enthusiasm to give stirs the others to action. And you know, it does. Generosity is contagious. When you are generous, people just want to be generous in exchange. And that story with the steaks, I remember whenever we would go to the butcher, when we would tell him what we're trying to do, we're trying to bless the community, we want to bless all the dads. And then he'd say, well, I want to be part of that, so I'll give you a discount and I'll put in extras. And
yeah.
It is. That's the way that generosity is actually contagious. It rubs off on people. And we want to be people that inspire others to give. We want our generosity to actually be beacon, and inspire others to be generous as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And when it comes to inspiring other people, you know, we're going to share stories today because stories, like, you can't make this stuff up, you know, like, God is a generous God and you can't make up his provision and what he does. And I think sometimes we don't share our stories of God's blessing in our lives because we're embarrassed or whatever. Can I encourage, Beacon, just share your stories. do you know what? I mean, I know the scriptures talk a lot about, like, don't let what's in hidden, you know, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing when it comes to generosity and things like that. And there is absolutely a blessing with that. But I think in a generation where generosity is so uncommon, I think it's actually a powerful thing to share with others, hey, I let go and allowed God to show up and look what God did in my life. And I'm really thankful that actually at the age of 18, I caught this. Like Beck said, it's infectious. If you sit with me for any time, I'll end up on the topic of generosity. I just love it because God is so good. And I'm so thankful that at the age of 18, I went to a church and my pastor at that time showed a video of a guy named Robert Morris. And Robert Morris wrote a book, and we've got a picture up here called The Blessed Life. And this book's been around for a long time, over 22 years, all right? And this book still blows my mind. I only opened it up just a couple of months ago to reread it. And I'm like, my gosh, his faith was incredible. When this guy had no money, he had no financial backing, him and his wife were just generous with all they had. And the blessings that just flowed through his life, it was like he was like a funnel. Like whatever came in, he just let go and give it away. And they go, okay, I've just given away my car. And then another car would be given to him. Someone would call him, I've got a car for you. And it was just this constant, amazing ministry. And at the age of 18, I remember sitting in church going, I want to do that. Like, I want to give away cars. I want to give away houses. How do you do that? And it was just this principle of just starting with something small, stretching a muscle, growing. You know, you can't do the big stuff first. You've got to let go of something small, and then God will challenge you to do a little bit more and a little bit more. And I think at the age of 18, because of this book, I remember the first $500 I gave away, and it was like my entire world I just forfeited. And I look at that and go, wow, that was amazing. And over the years, God has just grown that capacity. I still remember giving away my first car, which was one of the coolest things ever. I think this guy talks about the fact that if you own something, you have the ability to give it away. If you own it, you can give it away. Nothing's stopping that ability to give it away. I mean, you might want to sell it, but you might want to give it away. And so I was like, okay. And this car I had was a little Corolla, and I'd found out about this guy who needed a car, and I remember going and giving him the keys. It was probably worth, I don't know, $1,500. But the blessing that had for this guy's life was unbelievable. And I go, wow. And it just unlocks something within you when you can learn the ability to let go. And by the way, actually, 8 a.m. service, because I shared about this book, someone in the church came up to me and said, I just bought 5 copies of that book to give away to anyone who wants to read it. And so if you want to be one of those receivers of that book, hey, come and see me and we'll just give it to you. Because someone went, I wanted, she remembers reading the same book and was like, generosity is contagious. She's like, I remember that book and it's so powerful. And anyone who wants it, I've got 5 copies paid for, just tell them and we'll get that to you. Yeah. So that's amazing.
And I do think it's important to just stress what you said before is, church, this is a wrestle for us every time we talk about generosity, because there's so many stories in our life that we go, we've just done things and we haven't shared about them because we haven't felt the need to. And there could easily be a sense of, no, we don't need to talk about that. Like, that would be boasting. Let's not talk about that. But I truly believe we have this wrestle every time, but we always come out with going, no, it was stories from Robert Morris of his generosity that inspired us. So if the stories in our life can inspire you, it's worth it. So that's why we share it. But we just want you to understand that that's our heart in this. Our heart really is never to say, look at us. It's truly with a heart that says, if we can inspire you in this area, we want to. Because somebody else shared their stories, that's what inspired
us. That's right. Yep, absolutely.
So if we move on to the next one, we love that this passage talks about the principle of sowing and reaping, right? And this is a principle. It's a godly principle, but it's actually just a natural principle. It's a natural principle in our world. I mean, you talk about farming or gardening. What you sow determines what you'll reap. You can't reap something that you haven't sowed. You can't see something bloom that you never planted in the first place. And I love that this passage really talks about that concept of sowing and reaping. And it is such a godly biblical principle. And, you know, in this chapter, it says that if you sow sparingly, well, you'll reap sparingly. So if you sow a little, you'll reap a little. If you sow generously, you'll reap generously. That's a promise from God in the scriptures. And we believe strongly in that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. My uncle's actually farmers. down in South Australia. They're grain farmers, cereal farmers, you know, wheat farmers. And I used to always get on the tractor with my uncle David. And he, when you sow seed, the time of sowing, you know, right? It's like, we've got to sow the seed now. And man, they dump some serious seed in the ground. Like, there's a lot of seed that goes into these fields. And I remember Uncle David going, we're going to do this field. We're not touching that field for this season. That's going to have a rested period of time. But there was a time of sowing in a certain field. And he said, this time next year, you know, whenever the harvest, this will be full of wheat. Full of wheat. And you knew it because of the amount of seed that was sown into the ground. Guess what? He was absolutely right. The next field across never ever got any seed put in it. So what was there next year? Dirt. And so often we're like, you know, we're like going, God, bless me, bless me, bless me. And God's saying, what did you sow? You've got to give me something to work with here. I'm going to water it. I'm going to grow it. I can bring about multiplication. It's not the amount, but you've got to be able to bring seed. And I think sometimes we get confused. We think God's a genie, but God is a gardener. You know, it's not pray for my three wishes and hope God shows up. It's actually God says, I'm going to work with you. If you bring something, just a little seed, if you bring something of value and you lay it down and you put it in the ground and understand when you put that seed in the ground, what you're saying is, I'm actually killing this seed. It's dead to me now. It's covered. It's gone. And I'm trusting that God will bring the multiplication. I'm trusting there's a harvest that's going to happen. I have faith that God's going to move. And I got to tell you, this is something that I think so many people miss in regards to living a generous life. And I'm going to tell you now, this sowing and reaping principle, this is not just financial. This is relationships as well. You want to have great friendships, sow into your friendships. Be generous in your time, in your energy, the way in which you sow into other people. The reward and the return, the growth, the harvest, the joy in your life that will return because you've actually sacrificially laid down your own life for others is so beneficial. And I think sometimes we just go, I'm only going to give when I get. When I have some, then I'll, but that's not God's ways. He's like, no, I want to work with you and I'm going to challenge you to let go of something of value. Sow it and allow me to grow it and see what I can do in your life. And that's something that Beck and I, it's just something that we hold on to and wholeheartedly believe. God, we trust you. We've sown it and we know in time there will be a harvest. And I will say, sometimes you don't see the harvest for years, right? Sometimes you don't see the harvest for a decade. I'm telling you now, ever had a kid? Have you ever been with a kid and planted like a carrot with them? My mum and dad used to do it, you know, put a little seed in your, and every day the kid comes, where's the carrot? And they want to dig up the seed to find, let it do its thing, you know. God will grow it at exactly the right time.
Yeah. And I think sometimes people do say to us things like, people might watch on our life and then make comments like, well, you know, how did you get that? Or how have you managed to get that? Or why don't I have what you've got? And the thing is, I will say that we believe strongly in this principle. We always have from our day one of marriage. We've always believed strongly in the principle of sowing and reaping. And not just in sowing and reaping, but in sowing generously and reaping generously. And so we've just tried to always live our life like that. And so then we almost live with an expectation and an assurance that God's going to come through for us. We've sowed generously. So we just trust that our God is a God of promises and that if he says it, it's true. And so if we sow generously, we just expect that we're going to reap generously. And, you know, you shared a story in the 8 a.m. you might want to share again about it's not always the next day. That
no,
sometimes
not.
It takes a decade to see the reaping.
I was sharing with the 8 a.m. I remember when I was about 20 years old, I actually threw my back out in a mosh pit, destroyed my back in a mosh pit. How cool is that? Anyway, and I actually had to go to a physio, chiros, and these guys all said to me, one guy said, look, you need a good bed because your back is wrecked, okay? You need to go get a good mattress, go get a good bed. So at the age of 20, I didn't have a whole lot of money, and I went and bought a bed on 24 months interest-free, and I paid off a bed for 24 months. This bed, $2,500. It was the most expensive item I owned in my entire life. I didn't own many things, but my bed was my joy. Okay, anyone with me there? Your bed's your joy. And so, I mean, you know, you're like, that's my favorite thing in the whole world. And I remember I paid this thing off diligently every month, paid off that repayment. And after 2 years, I'd made the final repayment. I remember I'm lying in bed and I'm like, I'm the man. I'm the king of my castle. I got my bed, you know? And the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit on the day that I'd paid it off almost. It was like, as you didn't buy this bed for yourself, you bought it for someone else. Give it away. And I'm like, no. You know, like, it's sort of. But I mean, genuinely, there was this stirring, like something about instantly, like, I love this bed. Now I paid it off. God goes, give it away. And I'm like, nah, that can't be right. That's stupid. And so for 2 weeks, I wrestled with this stirring with my heart to give away this bed. And I'm like, oh my gosh. It got to a point I couldn't even sleep in my bed because of the stress that I had to give it away. It became a weight on my heart. You got to give this bed away. So I actually said to God, well, who do I give it to, God? How do I give a bed away? I don't know how to give a bed away. And I just felt in my spirit, it's going to be for a young couple in ministry who don't have a bed that need a bed. That's all I knew. That's all I felt. And I'm like, okay. And I remember later that week chatting to a friend of mine. We was having a coffee and I remember saying to her, hey, you don't know anyone who needs a bed, do you? Because I was just getting so stressed about this bed. Like, I have to get rid of it, even though I love it. And she goes, oh, it's so funny you mentioned that. I was at an engagement party last night for a young couple and they were joking in their speeches how God had called them to do missions in Africa. And they've decided to save money to be able to sow into that mission. They're going to put their single beds together when they get married because they're not going to spend money on a bed because that's a strong conviction for them. And so I'm hearing this story and instantly my spirit just leapt with joy. It was like, oh my gosh, that's them. And so I said, can I have the number? So I called this girl. I said, hey, you don't know me, but I've got this bed. It's a really good bed. It's all paid off. And if you want it, you can have it. And she's all excited, gets her fiance to call me, and he's like, are you kidding me? I said, look, I just feel like I got to give you this bed. It's a really good bed. Just come and pick it up. And he goes to me, as you don't understand, he said, this is just a miracle in itself. We've been praying, God, would you just give us confirmation we're supposed to get married? Because we don't have all our finances in order. We don't have everything sorted. But we just know that God's got us on mission, and this is, you've given us our wedding bed. And so this couple, they came and picked up the bed. I wave goodbye to my pride and joy. And, you know, you might go, oh, and God gave you a new bed. No. In fact, I slept on an air mattress for a couple of weeks. And then I'm like, I need to get a bed. I bought this single bed that I actually had until I met Beck. So when she met me, still had that single bed. Didn't have any bed for our married life. And she found I'd given away our bed. And I think she was probably, what were you thinking, right? And over the years, God's called me to give away all sorts of stuff. But I'm like, it's okay.
By the time I met him, he'd had everything we needed, but then he'd given away everything we needed.
Yeah, tables and just given. God had just stirred me to give it all away. And so I'm like, we got into our married life without a bed. And fortunately, the first place we rented had a bed included. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus, because we can't afford a bed. And then a year and a half later, we actually had to move out of that unit. We had to go and rent another unit. And we still didn't have a bed. We didn't have that much money. And it's amazing because we're talking, this is like 10 years down the track from that bed moment. And we were just about to move in. And the week before moving, a guy from my church comes up to me after worship, after praise and worship singing, and just goes, hey, as you're moving into the area, right? Just down there. I said, yeah. And he goes, do you guys have a bed? And I said, no. And he goes, 2 weeks ago, God told me while you're in worship to give away our bed, to give you our bed. And I said, is it any good? And he's like, yeah, it's awesome. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And so went to this guy's house straight after church to check out the bed. And you wouldn't believe it. It was like the same style of bed that I'd bought a decade ago. And I was just looking at it. And he's like, it's a new mattress. It's worth $3,000 and this and that. And I'm sitting there going, God, you are so kind. You provided my every need. And we moved in. We got a bed given to us. And I was just like, that was seed sown a decade ago. And you knew it exactly the right time when we needed a bed, you just came through. And I just believe wholeheartedly, when we just live this life of like obedience and letting go, at exactly the right time, the harvest will be there. And that's what we want to be as Beacon Church, people who just give with a heart of joy, they're prepared to let go and just trust Jesus, trust God that he provides our every need. And that actually leads into our next point actually about giving with joy.
Yeah, we want to, you know, it's a verse that many of you will know, but God loves a cheerful giver. And we want to be people that we give with joy, not give out of compulsion or begrudgingly. I actually love that probably at first giving away the bed was begrudgingly, but then you said by the time you gave it, it gave me great joy.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful because that's what we want to be. We want to be people like, it's not, I don't think it's really generosity when it's done with a frown. Like you want, when you're giving away with a frown, people can tell that like this was not done in love. Like people can tell when a gift is given out of obligation or compulsion, but people love receiving a gift when you can tell it's a gift done with joy and with, and the reality is God sees the heart and God's looking for, is your heart in this? Cause it's almost like he doesn't want it if you're not giving it with joy and it's not coming from a heart of joy.
Yeah, and I just want to challenge you. If you're sitting here and when it comes to letting go of things, of possessions, of value, as we talk about this stuff, as I said, it's not just financial. It might be your time. You don't like giving up your time. Your time is your time. You don't want to give up your time, or you don't want to, maybe, you know, when it comes to serving, like, you know, you're happy to throw money at the church, but oh, if I asked you to stand on the door to say welcome half an hour early, you'd be like, hell no, right? There's something in you that's like, that's my sleeping time. You know, like the thing is, living a generous life means every aspect. And I think we can have blind spots in our generosity. We can genuinely have blind spots where we're like, yeah, I'll be happy to do that. Just don't ask me for that. Whereas following Jesus is all encompassing. It's our whole life in the way that we do life. And he calls us to be generous. And it's not the amount that we give. It's just the heart of the giver on how we bring our gifts. It's the same as if you were serving on band. If you got up and you were begrudgingly hating slapping the bass or, you know, playing the keys, come with joy, you know, bring that gift with joy. Mark 12, there's that famous story where Jesus pulls his disciples aside. And he says, hey, look at that woman. She gave 2 coins. It's less than a penny, but she gave more than all these rich people here. Why? Because she came to temple. She was like, I'm giving God my best. And she had the right heart. And, you know, we don't care what it looks like, but just come with joy. I pray you find joy in your giving, because honestly. It will release something on your life.
When you catch the joy of giving, it's the most beautiful thing. I mean, I know for me at Christmas, I get more joy. Like, I believe God's word is true when it says it's better to give than receive. I get so much joy at Christmas. I was just talking to another family in the church about this the other day. That like at Christmas, I get so much joy out of watching the expression on the person's face when they open the gift. Like that's my joy at Christmas. I mean, the presents are great and all. But for me, the joy is in, oh, I've put so much thought into this gift and now I get to watch them open it. And sometimes they don't give you the expression you were hoping for. But like when they do, that's what gives me joy when I get to actually see the response from the person that it was given.
It's gonna be like my number one joy is when I see people eat good food that I've cooked and they're so happy. And I'm just like, take it all, take some home. Here's a Tupperware container. Just, you know, like I want to keep eating, you know. Yeah. It's the whole idea behind it is that I did this out of love. I just wanted to give you something. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful thing.
So if we move on to the next one, we love that in this passage it talks about the promise from God that when we're generous, he will actually give us what we need, right? And I know you've probably heard this, but a reminder that he says he'll give you what you need. Maybe not necessarily your wishes, desires, your dreams, but he will give you what you need. He's a good provider. He's a good father and he'll give us what we need. But what I love is that this chapter actually says that he won't just give you what you need. He'll give you enough for what you need and to be generous. And I love that because it actually shows us that God's desire is for us to be a generous people. Because if he was just about being a provider God and that's all he wanted was to provide for us, well, it would simply say that he'll give you as much as you need, full stop. But he doesn't say that. It says that he'll give you what you need plus enough left over to be generous, which tells me that my God actually wants me to be a generous person. And I love the idea, like when I picture that passage, I start kind of seeing it in my head as like this loop. It's just this ongoing loop because it's like he'll give us enough for what, like we're generous. And then it says if we're generous, then he'll give us what we need. Plus he'll give us leftover to be generous. And then we're generous with that. And then he gives us enough for what we need and to be generous. And it's just this ongoing, endless loop. And I just love picturing that because I think that's who God wants us to be. People that, yes, we have our needs covered by him. He is our provider. But he actually has a desire for us to then be generous with what he gives us.
And I want to mention that like this idea of God providing enough for us and then being generous. I've shared about this. Growing up in my family, we didn't have a whole lot. And if you're in a situation where you're on the receiving end of generosity at the moment and that's all, you're in survival mode and you're on the, and you're like, I got nothing to give. Can I just say to you, I totally understand and understand that situation. I mean, we were the family that received the bread every week from the bread run, and we'd, you know, secondhand shoes for school shoes and different stuff like that. But you know what I loved about my family? They would still share that. They would always just share what we had. Like if we were being on the receiving end, they would just share it. We would always have people at our house on Sunday afternoon for lunch. Always. It actually used to tick us kids off because we're like, can we just have family time? Who are these people, right? Christmas time would be the same thing. But my family, they taught me the joy of giving, sharing whatever you have. If you have something, you can share it. If it was given to you, you can bless someone else with it. I remember one Easter, it was a big music festival in Toowoomba at the local park, and it was going to be like -2 degrees and everyone was camping. And I found about 20 teenagers that I'd become friends with. I invited them all back to my mum and dad's house. And they rock up at about 7:30, 8 p.m. at night. And I'm like, mum and dad, can they all stay here tonight? Now, we don't have any spare rooms or anything. And my dad, he wasn't reprimanding me, going, you can't do that. He's like, come on in. Sleep on the couches, on the floors, in the different hallways. And then, like, food-wise, I know that I remember my dad just going, hey, we don't have a lot, but whatever's in the fridge, you can help yourself, young guys. These are youth group kids from, you know, Noosa and all over the place. There was always an element, if I have something in my hand, you can share it. You can share it. It may not be a lot, but hey, you can have some. Please share it. Or we want to be those sort of people at Beacon.
Yeah, and it reminds me of something you might often hear us say, which I don't think we've mentioned yet, is that we often say things like, it's not about equal giving, it's about equal sacrifice. And that's what we're always looking for in this church, is you won't always be able to give what somebody else can give. You won't always be able to even, whether it be finance, whether it be time, you know, everyone's lives are different and God's given us different things. So you won't always be able, so there's no point actually comparing yourself with other people in terms of what you're giving, in terms of time, in terms of finance, things like that. What's important is looking at the sacrifice, the level of sacrifice. Are you giving what God's truly asked of you? And we just long for a church, and I think we do have this, but we always want to be the sort of church where it's all about equal sacrifice. It's not about one person giving it all and the rest of us just kind of sit back. It's like, no, we want to be a church where we're all giving equal sacrifice. And that's why it brings us great joy. Even, you know, we know that there's some kids in this church that go to the FPOS machine every Sunday and give their $1.50. And it brings the biggest joy to our heart, because for them, that might be huge sacrifice. You know, we might look at the, you know, there could be a millionaire that brings $1,000 and we all go, oh, wow, like $1,000 or $10,000, wow, wow. But you know what? For them, it may be not even a drop in the ocean. It mightn't even be a sacrifice. But for that child that's given $1.50, that might be a huge sacrifice. And that's the stuff that I think brings God joy, when he can see that, hey, my kids are trusting me with their best and their first. So that's what we're big on. We're big on equal sacrifice because ultimately, God sees the heart, and that's what he's interested in.
And I want to see you guys blessed too. I just want to see God provide your every need, that you'll have testimony that God came through. I know for us, we hold on to our stories because we're just reminded of times where we let go and went, oh my gosh, and shared in the 8 a.m. that when we were first married, we were broke, like broke as. That's me. I remember time and time again, we just made a commitment as a couple that we would never let people know about our financial status. We would just always be a blessing if we could. And I remember we ran a connect group. And as I said, I love feeding people. So every night, every week, we'd put on a meal and feed, you know, about 20 or 30 people in our home. And that would come at a sacrifice. And I remember some nights Beck would cry because she'd be like, oh my gosh, we have no food left in the house now. They've taken it all. And, but I remember this once.
Make me sound.
No, but I mean, it was real. We were, there was a big faith step to do that. And I used to always say, God will provide every need. And even internally, sometimes I'm like, God, you better provide. And I remember there was this season, seriously, I still remember it so clearly. We'd run out. We didn't have any money for groceries. There was no money. And we were joking because we had some vegetables left. And we were like, we're going to be vegetarian for the next week or two because we have no cash. We didn't know where our next money was coming from. And we went out to a State of Origin night with some friends at a pub, and Beck just happened to buy a raffle ticket for a meat tray. That was a good ticket, you know, meat tray. Didn't think any of it, but then we won. And there's actually a photo of young Az and Beck. I am stoked because I did not want to be a vegetarian. And that proves to me the Lord didn't want me to either. And so God is good. But you know, this meat tray, I always think of God's kindness in our first year of married life. We always just like, God, you go first, and that provide enough meat for the next couple of months. And I remember we shared some of that meat with different people. I don't know why, but I remember handing out bags of rissoles to someone. I don't know. But it was just interesting, like, how God just provides in the funniest ways. And we want you to have those sort of miracles in your own life too. But here's the deal. You know what? God might be doing these miracles in your life right now, but have you got the spiritual eyes to see it? Have you actually stood back and go, wow, that was God's blessing. Oh, I didn't have to buy a coffee today. Someone purchased that coffee for me. God, you just saved me $5 that I didn't have. Or, you know, being able to have the thankful heart that says, God, you're always good to me. You provide my every need. And that's a really big part of this generosity journey.
And which kind of leads on to the next one, which is about God is our provider. And that's what we love about this passage too, is it talks about how he supplies seed to the sower. Like the seed that we're actually talking about sowing is from him anyway. Mm. And you're a big believer in this, and you've seen this play out in your life.
If you find giving hard and being generous hard, like you literally hold on to everything for dear life, because in your heart of hearts you think, I have worked so hard for this. Look what I have achieved. I want to see that broken off your life. You need the revelation that every good gift is from your heavenly Father. Every breath in your lungs. You did nothing for that breath in your lungs, did you, this morning? It's just there. God gives every good gift to each and every one of us. And when you have that revelation, I was even reading in the book of Job, you know, the story of Job. He has everything, then he loses everything. And his response in Job 1, it says this: at this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head, because he just lost everything. Then what does he do? It says, then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Wow. In this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Job understood his placement with God. I've been blessed, and now right now I'm feeling pain, but I still worship you, God, because every good thing that's ever happened in my life came from you, and I will bring everything back to you. And you see at the end of Job's life, because of his posture and understanding that it's all from God, God returns, restores, and blesses his life. And again, we've got to get this headspace that God, nothing I have isn't from you. You've blessed me with my talents to be able to earn this finance. You've blessed me with these giftings to do what I do. And if you can get that heart posture, my gosh, everything you have, you're like, cool, I want to share it. I just want to share it. And another passage that really stood out to me at a very young age was actually a passage in Psalm 24, 1 to 2. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The reason this passage spoke to me at a young age was when I was 19, I sponsored my first sponsor child through Compassion Australia, an amazing organization. And it was a massive sacrifice for a 19-year-old, you know, $48 or whatever it was for the month. And I was like, I'm going to help the poor. And the next year came around, the second year of working at this Christian radio station where I'd learned about Compassion came around, and I got challenged to sponsor a second child. And that was a huge stretch for a 20-year-old. My gosh, are you kidding me? But I went, okay, I'll do it. I sponsored my second sponsor child. And it taught me something about generosity. And in that moment, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me at a young age. And that's why when you're young, start with your generosity young. He wants to grow your capacity. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, as I want you to sponsor another kid every year. That was it. And I'm like, whoa. Well, God, you're going to have to show up in my life because I don't have a whole lot of cash. And so the third year came around and I was really ready. I was like, God, I'm going to do it. And there was an opportunity to sponsor a third child. But I, on a logical level, I looked at my funds and I went, I have not had a pay increase. Life is getting more expensive. I can't do it. I just didn't have the faith for it and actually walked away and wasn't obedient. But I knew that was what God asked me to do, but I just went, I can't do it. Fast forward another year, the fourth year comes around and I've had a bit of a pay increase over that year and I'm actually down at a Hillsong conference of all things. And Compassion had their little stall outside and I was like, you know what? I'm going to sponsor my third child. I'm going to do this. So I walk in, sponsor this little girl from India, and I was feeling pretty chuffed. You know, at 21, 22, I've got this big financial outgoings and I'm responsible for these kids and, you know, I'm going to do this. Directly after sponsoring this little girl, I walk into a meeting, and on the stage at that time is a compassion moment. They're talking about sponsoring kids, changing kids' lives, not a coffee a day, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm standing there and I'm feeling proud of my third, and the Holy Spirit so clearly goes, "As you're supposed to have four. I asked you, one a year, you're supposed to have four." And I argue with God. I'm like, "God, I can't afford four. I've just got this amount and I can do three, but I can't do four." And the Holy Spirit said, "How can I bless you unless you're obedient? You're supposed to have four." And so I argue anymore. And then they were all walking around with these packets with these pictures of the kids. And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, oh my gosh." And I go, "Fine, give me one." I'm like, my fourth kid, I'm like, "Oh my gosh." And I look at this kid's face and I'm like, "Okay, his name's Christian. Okay, he's from Colombia, right?" I turn over the profile, his birthday, he has my birthday. And the Holy Spirit just went, "Thank you." Now, I found out they handed over 900 copies of people, kids' profiles out that day. Only one kid had my birthday in a crowd of 20,000 people. Now, I'm going to tell you, that was such a moment for me. But I'm still freaking out. Like, I'm like, "God, I can't provide for this fourth kid. I can hardly do the third one." But I've stepped out in faith. I remember coming back.
So what, you're a single dad with four kids?
Yeah, single dad, four kids. Wow, what a catch you got. Anyway, so I come back to Brisbane and I'm seriously stressed about this because I know I know God's asked me to do this. And the first week back, a friend of mine calls me and said, "Hey, mate, you want to go to the movies at South Bank?" And I'm like, "I'm kind of broke at the moment." "Oh, don't worry, I'll pay." "All right, fine, I'll come." And so we go to the movies that week and he wanted to get some popcorn. So we're lining up at the snack bar and just having a chat about the week. And this random girl taps me on the shoulder from behind me and goes, stops us in this conversation. She goes, "Excuse me." Turn around. She goes, "What do you do?" And I said, "Sorry?" She goes, "What do you do for a living?" And by the way, I have big dreadlocks, so I don't know what she thinks. I'm a drug dealer. I don't know. I don't know what she's asking. I don't know where she's going with this. But I'm like, "Sorry?" She goes, "What do you do?" And I said, "Oh, I'm a radio announcer actually in town." She goes, "Yeah, I've been listening to you talk to your friend, and your voice sounds like it's a real media voice. And my dad does voiceover work, and he's been trying to find a voice for Domino's Pizza, and I think you're the guy." And I'm like, "What?" She goes, "Here's his card. Call him if you want." And she just takes off. My mate and I are just like, "What is going on?" I called this guy the next day, drove down to Browns Plains at a home studio. He goes, "Read this script." And I'm like, "Okay." So I'm in the studio and I'm reading this thing. I'm like, "At Domino's, we use the freshest ingredients." And I start reading this thing. "Try our new Seven Meats Pizza." And he goes, "You're the new voice of Domino's Pizza." And I'm like, "What?" And he goes, "Yeah, we're gonna pay you to do voiceover, all the on hold stuff when you get put on hold, all the promotions, like you're just gonna read a script." And he goes, "We're gonna pay you." And I go, "I'm gonna get paid. This is great." I go, "How much?" Turns out that paid for those two kids for the next 3 years, plus the extra kid the year after. And in that season, as I said, the Holy Spirit spoke to me through Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." And I felt God say to me so clearly, when it comes to helping the poor, he's like, "As they're my kids, I provide for my kids, you're just the vessel. Would you trust me? Would you trust me?" And so that's been a journey that both Beck and I have been on. And when I started dating Beck, I had a tribe of, I think, 9 kids. I think Beck had 6 kids. We had 15 kids without even being married, you know, like it was...
See, and you thought we didn't have kids. Surprise.
Yeah, we have
surprise
kids. We have kids. But, you know, God just shows up. He shows off. You know, and when it comes to helping the poor too, there's lots of scripture. He says, when you lend to the poor, you lend to the Lord. He will repay you duly. And there's, you know, doing God's work. And that's something that we want to be known for as well in this church.
Yeah, and there's a few times in this passage where it talks about being generous at all times, on all occasions, right? There's that idea of we want to be prepared. We want to be people that are prepared to be generous in all ways, on all occasions. And as we kind of mentioned before, we're talking not just about finance. There will be times when, you know, you're in a moment and God says, be generous with your prayers. Come on, right now, pray for this person. Be generous with your prayers. That's what they need right now. Be generous with your words. They need an encouraging word right now. Be generous with your time. The church needs you right now, or somebody needs you to help them right now. You know, be generous in all occasions, in all ways. And I think we learned this, or you learned this, because I'm going to dub you in. You learned this in our first year of marriage when it comes to your sponsor kids. Because as we said, when we got married, we had quite a few sponsor kids, and we actually met through the organization Compassion. So we had a similar heart. Well, we had the same heart for the poor and for these kids and for generosity. But Az had this mentality, I guess, that he was providing for these kids. And that's a very admirable trait. It's like one of the reasons I fell in love with him is, wow, what, you know, you don't meet many guys in their 20s that have got nine kids. But anyway. But anyway,
I hope someone listens to this podcast and doesn't listen carefully, and they get real confused.
Yeah, who are
like,
these
what
people?
Is it?
Yeah, that's great. But anyway, so he had this mentality that I'm providing for them. Financially, I'm providing for them, which is a great thing. But then I started to realize that he actually didn't. He used to pay the bills, right, for these kids, but he never actually wrote letters to these kids. So sorry, this is conviction time for even some people in the
room. Yeah. But I want to just point out, hey, men here, we provide, right? Like we put money towards stuff. I'm going to clap.
Teenagers clapping.
I'm gonna clap.
You're being a bad example.
No. We've got to do more men, all right?
Anyway.
Stop it. Yeah.
Anyway. I discovered that he wasn't actually writing to these kids. And at first he was like, well, what do you mean? I'm paying the bills. But the thing is, like, because I think at the time I'd traveled to a few countries to visit my sponsor children, and I'd be meeting these sponsor kids, and I would say to them, hey, like, do you know who your sponsor is? Do they write to you? And you'd get these little sad eyes look at you.
Oh, don't.
And you'd get these little eyes go, no, like, when everyone else gets their letters, I don't get any. And I'm thinking, oh, you're probably Az Hamilton's kid. Like, but, you know, and they would say, some of them would say to me, I don't even know what my sponsor looks like because they've never sent me a photo. Like, they're just praying for this person that they don't even know what they look like. Anyway, I'm telling Az all this. I'm like, babe, like, you have to actually, like, encourage them, speak life into them. Like, you know, oh, you're, like, getting teary. I didn't mean to, like, make you feel that bad. anyway, but to his credit, he then started writing to them. And he, in particular...
Yeah, I just want to point out, there's another reason why I didn't write letters very often. I didn't know which kid owned the cow and which kid owned this.
Stop.
No. I wasn't very organised. So Beck actually organised all my letters.
I organised him. I put them on the filing cabinet, fine. Labelled them with which child
was...
Yeah.
And once I found that out, it was great. Yeah, anyway. I was organised.
So anyway, then he started writing them. And in particular, Christian, who was the one that has his same birthday... Christian in Colombia, like we suddenly noticed the difference. He was writing pretty generic letters. I mean, good letters, but like it was always just the same thing. And he'd ask all these questions, which of course Az never answered. So he probably just stopped asking questions because he knew he wasn't going to get an answer. Anyway.
I wrote a letter and answered 10 years of questions in one letter.
He went through his filing system.
Every question I answered, it was the world's longest letter.
But,
answered every question from a decade.
But you should have seen the reply. Like Christian came alive because suddenly he was like amazed that finally he was hearing. I actually went and got the letters out last night and I was reading him.
Yeah.
And I said, Az, look at this. Look at the difference that the generosity of your words were making in his life. And really, Christian didn't have a dad, or his dad wasn't in his life. So Az kind of stepped in to play that role. And I mean, look, Christian was a bit of a...
He's rogue.
He is rogue. He used to tell us about all his girlfriends.
Three girlfriends.
Yeah, three. And we had to like try and tell him, no, Christian, we don't think that's a good idea.
It's just, yeah.
He had cool haircuts.
He had really cool
haircuts.
He either wanted to be a hairdresser or a soldier.
Yeah.
I'm like, and he had these three girlfriends. And I said, Christian, just one at a time. That's how we do things following Jesus,
but,
all right?
But, you know, you started speaking into his life. We were very aware of, gang culture in Colombia, so we kept being very intentional about getting into the right crowds, get the right friends around you. Like, we started really being intentional with what we were saying to him. And we saw the you know, his letters, like he was coming alive and he was, you know, appreciative of them. So the reason we say that is that sometimes all of us, we find certain areas easy to be generous in, and then we find other areas very hard. And so I guess this morning what we want to help you see is that there'll be some areas that come to mind for you instantly where you have no issue being generous, kind of like what Az talked before about. You know, when it comes to giving, like we put that stack, the sleigh there, and you're like the first person to bring in 100 presents because that is just the area that you love to give in, and it's so easy for you, it's so natural. But then if we were to ask you to come early on a Sunday morning to help clean the church or to help on the coffee or whatever it might be, you go, oh, hold up, that's my time. That's my time. Don't ask me to give that up. But you're so generous when it comes to giving all the gifts and things like that. Or it might be that you're a faithful tither of the house, and that's amazing, and we thank you for that. But again, maybe you really struggle with giving up your time. Or it might be that you're someone, you're here, you know, anytime we need help here, you're here, you're reliable, you're the first to put up your hand to serve. But whoa, ask for your finance, and it's like, uh-uh, it's like wall up. Don't go there. Yeah. And I think we just wanted to share that story because for you, it was you don't struggle to give financially. Like if I didn't stop you, sometimes you probably would give away everything. But like, so that's easy for you in a way. But then you had to learn that actually I need to be generous with writing to my kids and with words. And it might be that, yeah, you're a generous financial giver, but you struggle with being generous with your words, with your encouraging words and your life-giving words. Like, that's between you and God to figure out, hey, what is the area that you're asking me to stretch in, God? What's the area that you're asking me to just be a bit more generous, where I'm holding back, where you're asking me to let go and be generous? It's we want to be generous people in all ways, on all occasions.
Yeah, and step out in faith in whatever that area is. It might be that today you're like, you know what, I need to go and serve in a team here at church and not just be on the receiving end of this church's generosity with people giving their time. You might just be feeling that conviction, or you might just go, you know what, this week I'm going to be open. I'm going to open my home up to a connect group because I know there's needs for connect groups. Mm. And I know I like sitting at home and watching TV on that night of the week. But you know what? I'm going to give that time up, whatever it might be. Or as you said, like it might be tithing. My gosh, with tithing, I just see it's a double blessing. God's going to pour out so much in your life. And I just go, oh, well, you know, it may be, but you just got to still have faith in it. It's still a faith step. And so the challenge for today, as we said, is living generously, not just in one area. It's about in every aspect of our life. How can I be more generous in who I am in my community?
Please hear us too, not just here at church. We want to be people that are generous in every realm and every space we find ourselves. It's one thing to be generous in the house of God, but we want to be people, if we want to be beacons in this community, generosity is a sure way to make people notice you. You'll be shining bright when you're being generous. So we want people that call Beacon Home to be the most generous people out in the community as well as in the church. This is not about give the church all your finance, your time, your everything. No, this is in every area of your life, in every place you find yourself. Be that generous one in the room. Like, be the one where they go, what's different about that person? They're the first to open their hand. They're the first to encourage. They're the first to give their time. They're the first to just be generous. And they go, they must go to Beacon. That's the hope and dream. That's what we'll be known for. Yeah. And to wrap up this morning, we've got a couple more areas that we just want to finish with. Is probably some of my favorite bits of these passages, actually, is the part where it says multiple times, actually, that our generosity will actually result in thanksgiving to God. And I love that because I truly believe, like, and if you stop and think about that, go, wow, when I'm generous, it will actually result, it may result in expressions of thanksgiving to God. Like when you're generous to someone and they're going to then thank God because of your generosity, I just think that's beautiful. That's so special. And again, as we said, if we want to be beacons, we want to be guiding people home, one sure way to do it is be generous and watch them go, wow, God, you really provided for me then. God, when I felt like I was at the end, but that person came through with a word of encouragement or a prayer for me, thank you, God, for that person. Like, I just think, wow, what an honor that we get to be the vessel by which people will end up thanking and praising God. Like, that's beautiful. And the last thing we want to talk about is it's interesting that it uses this word, which I think actually almost sums up generosity. It says this. It says, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. Because at the end, it really comes down to obedience. And I love that it actually says that it will be, it accompanies, it's an obedience that accompanies your profession of faith in Jesus Christ. See, it's one thing to say you believe in Jesus Christ. It's one thing to say you're a follower of Jesus Christ, but it's another to actually prove it by the accompanying obedience of your generosity. And I just think that's powerful, that actually we can almost, we can prove our faith in Jesus by actually our generosity, our acts of faith in generosity. And I know for Az and I, what it comes down to when it comes to generosity, over and over and over and over and over. In fact, every time that we've probably been generous, it's always been because of obedience. Firstly, obedience to this. I mean, if you're wondering, is God asking me to be obedient? Is God asking me to be generous? Well, you've got it right here in many, many, many ways. God's telling you, be generous, be generous, be generous. But I would also say that over and over again for us, it's the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's just those little nudges. It's those little nudges of, hey, you should give. Hey, you should be generous. Hey, there's a need there. You should meet that need. I get it when God says to me all the time, hey, you're thinking something nice about that person, tell them. You know, if occasionally you get a text from me thanking you for something, it's because God's reminding me, hey, that person helped you out today. Or that person did something beautiful and you witnessed it. Tell them. Tell them you saw it. Like, be generous with your words, Beck. Don't keep it to yourself. Be generous with it. You know, every time we've ever given, and honestly, some of them have been scary gifts. I can tell you, like, I don't know about you, but I've cried sometimes when Az has told me what he thinks God's asking us to give. I've cried because I've gone, God, we couldn't possibly do that. That's too big. That's too beyond us. Like, we can't. But then I hear his voice telling me, Beck, I'm asking you to do this. Trust me. Trust my word that says, I will make sure you have all you need, plus enough to be generous. And so every time we've ever given, it's been out of obedience. Mm. And so I would just encourage you, listen for that still small voice. Listen for that nudge. Because I was actually, as we were preparing this, I was thinking, sometimes people say to me, but I didn't know if it was God. I didn't know if it was God's voice. Well, when would God ever tell you to not be generous? Honestly.
Don't be nice.
God said, it's be generous. That couldn't be God. God will always tell you to be generous. Yeah. So if you're hearing that prompt, if you're hearing that voice, trust that you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and the Holy Spirit is always encouraging us and nudging us towards acts of generosity and faith.
And to wrap up, the reason we're generous is because God gave his only son for us, the greatest gift of all, the greatest generous moment in all of history. He gave up his most prized possession so that we could be with him. And, you know, the reality is that God's love has been poured out for us. He laid his life down. And we used to respond by going, God, what can I do for you? How can I be your hands and feet in that community? How can I be an answer, a solution? How can I be challenged to let go of something of great value to me? And we just trust that God will come through every time. Yeah? Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much for this morning. God, I thank you that you give us the perfect example of love and generosity. God, we thank you that you gave your only son for us, that we could live eternally with you because of that free gift of salvation through the cross, through the resurrection. God, I pray that as Beacon, we will be generous in everything we do. God, that you will open our spiritual eyes to the needs around us. And God, if we have the ability, if we have the capacity to answer with, yes, I can help, we will just say, absolutely, I'm in. I'm here to help. I have an open hand to give what I have. Pray a blessing over our church as we go into our community this week to be beacons, to reach the Redlands for Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.